For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Hello and welcome to a icy Monday. Monday? I'm relieved.
It's Monday.
I'm going to go back to the weekend.
I'm going to go.
An icy Monday afternoon here on Columbo and Katie on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Thank you so much for being with us. How are you?
I am freezing. I am so flipping cold. I have a sweater on. I have my heater full blast in my office. I have a blanket on. I cannot get warm today. Is that the same for you?
No, it's not the same for me. No, I'm
but it's cold. Warm.
It's cold outside, yeah. Oh, very cold outside, yeah. But I'm not, I feel fine in here.
Man, I'm cold in here.
It feels nice in here.
What?
What?
I'm cold.
I want to talk about this ice, and I want to ask you, because Katie and I legitimately have not had a chance to talk very much today, so you just asked me if my kids were at school today.
Yes.
Which, I guess you thought that I was just taking the day off and I was in super late because I don't come to work anymore. But I was home with them for the first half of the day because they are home from school. And I want to ask you if you thought that it was surprising that kids were off school today. Are you surprised by that? Did you expect me to say that, yeah, the kids are in school? Or were you like, oh, it's common sense that they'd be off today?
No, honestly, this entire day has sprung up on me. This entire day sprung up on me. I had my car outside. I'll start with this.
Uh-huh.
I parked my car in the garage every single night. For some reason, I'm a dummy, left my car outside parked in the driveway because I had no idea it was going to be cold. I had no idea there was prediction of frost or ice or snow.
Neither did I.
What? And so I wake up this morning. My mom is texting me. She's watching Maeve saying, I'm taking my time, but it's going to take a while. There's ice. Go outside. My car's ice. This is why I'm like, I don't know why. I haven't seen any local news today, but I'm like, were the kids off? I have no idea if they were off or if they went to school in this. So I am surprised by everything right now.
So this is really funny. I think it's very funny. So we had a busy day yesterday. So we were out kind of late. By the way, big shout out to Lindenwood University and the Lindenwood gymnastics team, the women's gymnastics team, and the Mizzou gymnastics team and the Texas Women's University. We went and saw our first collegiate gymnastics meet yesterday at Lindenwood, and it was Mizzou versus Lindenwood versus Texas Women's University. And you know, my daughter Maggie is huge into gymnastics and has had great success doing it. And her and a bunch of her teammates, we brought them to this meet yesterday, and it was awesome.
Cool.
It was super cool. It was a lot of fun. But it also screwed up the day. You know, the weekends are when we do all of our grocery shopping and our Target run and all this other stuff. So it made it so we were out pretty late. So I was out fairly late last night. And I even walked the trash to the end of the driveway at like 10:30. And
nothing.
There was no ice. Now, I'm not looking at the news. Apparently, as this is all going down, while we're shopping at Target and I'm walking the trash to the... Apparently, cars are just crashing everywhere on every highway.
What?
It's just a mess. Have you looked?
No!
Hey, look at the pictures of last night. Look at the stories. So then, all of a sudden, we're getting ready for bed, and my wife goes, the kids don't have school tomorrow. And I said, what? And she's like, what is going on? And I said the same thing. And I'm like, well, I guess they just have a bunch of snow days that they just, and it's cold, you know, it's supposed to be pretty cold tomorrow, like in the teens, and I guess they're just like using a snow day. So I go on Twitter.
Uh-oh. What happens there?
And I say, I don't think it's going to be cold is a good enough reason to call off school.
Oopie doopie.
Oh
no.
Baby. Now,
uh-oh.
You follow me on Twitter. How often, what is the vast majority of the kind of things
James.
That I tweet? Kids.
Yes, Maggie.
Gymnastics
Grace.
Meets.
We're not, yeah.
Yeah, Grace at Disney World.
Family is what we tweet.
Family and kids.
Yes.
I am, you know, occasionally have obviously stuff about the show and things like that. But it's always very positive. I'm not usually very, I don't usually get too snarky on Twitter. And I don't think this was very snarky either. I have a lot of followers, and I really appreciate that, at Tony Colombo Talk, if you would like to be one of those, at Tony Colombo Talk. But I don't get a whole lot of, I don't get that much interaction on Twitter, because I'm posting pictures of my daughter's gymnast. So what I get is a lot of likes, a lot of hearts, because, oh, what a great picture, what a cool little video, blah, blah, blah. Or, you know, and a couple of nice comments about, like, oh, way to go, Maggie, you know, if she's got her gold medals on. But literally, I get maybe a couple of replies. I get a lot of likes and a lot of interaction, but I don't get very many replies. All of a sudden, I send out this tweet. And I'm, yeah, it's like, bing, 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 bing. And they're all like, oh, why don't you turn on the TV, you big dummy? There's people dying everywhere. Their cars are flipping over and dying. You want your kids to die? You want your cars to flip over and die? What's wrong with you? Like, I mean, it was like, woof. And I was, and as soon as I started getting replies to a tweet, I was like, oh boy.
Oh,
because I was like, the joke wasn't that funny. So yeah. I know it's not like people going, yeah, Tony. So like, and they were right. I looked afterwards, and yeah, the head, like the if you would have went last night to like KMOV.com or, you know, what, you know, local stuff, there's pictures of all the backups and accidents that are happening on the highways. I had no idea. One person was like, simply walk outside and you know that you don't send this tweet. And I'm like, I was just outside 5 minutes ago and there is no ice.
Chill.
I mean, it's cold, but it wasn't like I was ice skating down the driveway or the roads in our neighborhood or anywhere else where, yeah, it was hilarious.
I'm looking.
It just shows, you know, we joke about Twitter. And look, I loved it, by the way. I'm not like,
can I read your tweet?
I'm not upset. Yeah, go, please.
Okay. Remember, at Tony Colombo Talk.
Yes.
This is the tweet. We just got a call in Texas. Schools in our district are closed tomorrow due to weather/road conditions. What? I'm all for erring on the side of caution, but I don't think it's going to be a 20 degree. But wait, I don't think it's going to be 20 degrees is a good enough excuse, reason to shut it down and pray we survive. Oh, boy.
That's it.
Oh, boy.
That's it. Just walk outside.
Oh boy.
Just simply open your door and you wouldn't send this stupid text.
I didn't know either. I had no idea either. It caught me by surprise, and that's why I'm like,
no clue.
Were the kids off or were they not?
And I still never saw it. We were out last night and I was out this morning and this afternoon, and I had no problem anywhere
whatsoever.
Didn't encounter any bad highways, and I was on highways. I know it happened,
but I
like must be living in the Truman Show or something, that I am separated from the rest of the world, because I saw nothing.
It took
my wife and I were baffled when they called off school, and my daughter was on like a video call with one of her friends. It was like, we're off school tomorrow. And the friend was like, what? They, like, the kids were baffled. They were thrilled, but they were baffled. So we were all dumbfounded.
Yes.
And so I sent that tweet, and it's so funny because we talk about how negative.
Well, then can you blame me for
not
asking
at all.
The question at A to B, like, what
no,
the heck?
That's why I'm telling this story. It was a perfect setup. That was a perfect setup. So, yeah. So it's so funny because I tweet all this, like, positive good stuff all the time and never get any replies, and I say something wrong and it's like and it wasn't that bad. Listen, it wasn't that bad. I am not complaining. I loved it. If you go and look at my reaction, I loved it.
Yeah.
One person even apologized because I was like, I love the snark on Twitter when you say something wrong, because
I issued a redaction.
And you know, one person apologized and I was like, no, I deserved it. Look, I did. I deserved it. But it is just so funny that you can post all this positive stuff all the time and get nothing, and you say something.
Waiting.
Oh,
they're waiting. They're like, where is that giant slab of meat that I could stink, that I could put my sink my teeth into?
I love it.
But you know, this is one
I
of
truly,
those.
I truly love it. I'm not not complaining at all.
This
I just appreciate
day,
the follows and the reactions and the replies, good or bad, really. It just is so funny to me.
It's so great. This is one of those days, though, that I do agree that, I mean, like 18 degrees, the ice on my freaking car would not come off to save my life. I was out there for 30 minutes trying to get the ice off my car, warmed my car up for 30 minutes. I'm like, what is it going to take? And by the way, last weekend, we had 6 inches of snow predicted. We had an inch of snow.
Right.
And then this
there's
week,
more
no
snow
one
today.
Saw it coming. And we have more snow today.
There's more snow in my house today than there was last week.
Which
it was like a half an inch last week, and it's like 3/4 of an inch now.
Yeah.
It's still nothing.
Which goes to our conversation last week. Would you rather have an overestimated amount of snow so that you're prepared, or underestimated where you're totally caught off guard?
And we both said we'd rather them overestimate than be caught off guard.
Because
this is
today,
exactly it.
Yeah,
caught off guard.
Literally it.
Perfect. I still am not. Listen, I know that last night, I saw the pictures, guys. I know that there was bad traffic because of the ice last night. I still, however, think that they could have went to school today. It just didn't seem like that big of a deal. And I don't know how many. I don't know if like most schools called off or if just a handful of schools called off. I don't know if it was across the board. I'll have to check. I know that the schools in our area, our district and, and districts around us, or at least one district right by us, called off. I know two big school districts at least called off, and I'm sure there was plenty more.
This is kind of a halfway good example, but Mike Ferguson said today he gets in at 3 o'clock in the morning, people, so take that with what it is. But when he was on the road today, he's like, the highways were not clear. Like, the highways were not clear at all. Icy, snowy. I mean, he got to work, which is great, but he's like, there was no plows, there was no salt, there was not a sign of any tracks even on the highway.
Right.
So, who knows? Maybe at 8 o'clock it was still the same way or something.
I thought it was really funny though.
I do love it.
I loved it.
I love it. I loved it. You're also,
I send this tweet and then like bing, bing, bing. And I'm like, what is happening?
You're also someone that doesn't engage in that way either on Twitter.
You're right.
Like, you don't go into it being like Tim Jones in it. You're not let's get it popping.
Yeah. I mean, I certainly have gotten into it on Twitter before, but it's not my, social media arguments are not usually my
go-to.
My deal. Yeah. I like to talk to people on Twitter. I certainly like to talk to people on Twitter, and I like to share things on Twitter, and I like to promote the show and talk and, you know, let people know what's happening, you know, with us and with the station. And I obviously like to post family stuff. I like when people tell me about their family. Like, you know, I've talked to a lot of other gymnastics parents over the years on Twitter that have, you know, as I'm posting pictures of things like that. And, you know, I love it for that kind of stuff. And if that, it, you know, if you would like to follow me, please do at Tony Colombo Talk on Twitter. But, yeah, I just thought that was hilarious.
I'm going to retweet this on our station account. You think that'd be funny? I just want to say, like, this is what Tony is talking about, right? I just think it's great.
I did, too. Yeah, please do. Yeah, go right ahead. Go right ahead. All right. Let's get into the stories in a second, because we've got a lot to talk about today, and there's a lot of things happening out there. Brand new poll out cites the top problem facing the nation, and it is agreed upon the top problems with the country in this latest poll are agreed on by Republicans and Democrats. It's all the same, which that never happens, which that really shows you that people are fed up with certain things if they are agreeing completely. So I want to tell you guys about that. Also, the city of St. Louis has agreed to pay $5.2 million to settle claims of mass arrests during the Stockley protests. I have some real thoughts about that. And we've got plenty of other stories to talk about as well. We are also going to talk to Mark Lotter. Haven't talked to Mark in a while. Chief Communications Officer at America First Policy Institute. He's also the former special assistant to President Trump and was a big part of Trump's 2020 presidential election. We haven't had a chance to talk to Mark since Trump announced for 2024. This is a guy who has the inside scoop. He's been there on the front lines running a presidential campaign with Donald Trump in the past. So would love to get, and will here in just a moment, get his thoughts and ask him some questions about what is going into this plan for 2024 and the former president. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to Columbo and Katie on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Welcome back to Columbo and Katie on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. I'm Tony Columbo. My partner, of course, is Katie Fitzpatrick. And in just a moment, we are going to get Mark Lauder on the line, Chief Communications Officer at America First Policy Institute, former special assistant to President Trump, and also was a big part of the last presidential campaign with Donald Trump. So what a perfect person to talk to right now as, you know, we are getting into 2024 presidential season, believe it
or
not. Believe it or not, we are already getting there. We saw announcements last week by Rick Scott, who was one of the Republicans, the senator from Florida, former governor of Florida. That was an interesting thing, if you remember, in 2020 when Rick Scott was the governor of Florida and Ron DeSantis was a senator. And they just went, whoop.
Yeah.
They just switch seats.
Switch. Pull the old
switchies. Switchies.
And now?
Yeah. So Rick Scott is one of those guys that was a one of those outsiders that was on the kind of like a tier two list of who's could possibly run for president on the Republican side. He made his announcement last week that he is not running. So candidates are starting to either get in or get out. And of course, the one that everybody's waiting for is Ron DeSantis. And so we can talk some, you know, presidential campaign scheming and all of those sort of things, strategies and things like that with Mark Lauder here in just a moment. Before that, I wanted to remind you about the Columbo and Katie podcast. We're just talking about my Twitter account, which I would really appreciate if you followed me on Twitter at Tony Columbo Talk. In fact, one of my 2023 New Year's resolutions is to do a better job on Twitter, communicating everything. We are going to be posting more content on social media. We're going to be posting more videos on social media, and I will be doing a lot of that on my Twitter account as well. So make sure that you are subscribed to me at Tony Columbo Talk and K Fitz Talks.
That's me.
I couldn't put Tony Columbo Talks because I ran out of characters.
Uh-huh.
So it had to stop at Talk. So it's at Tony Columbo Talk and it's at K Fitz Talks.
And Tony did have the blue check mark.
Oh yeah. I was a blue check mark. You know, I've thought about this before.
Mm-hmm.
Text or tweeting Elon and asking him to give me my blue check mark back. And I wonder if he would do that for me. I wonder if we like made a big,
that's a really smart idea.
What if we did like a big campaign of like, give Tony his blue check mark back?
Let's tweet
Elon Musk and just said, give
every
Tony.
Day.
I will send him $7? What is it?
Yeah, it's $7.
$7. Mm-hmm. I'll send him $7. $7 in the mail, Elon. Give me my blue check mark back. Because Katie took it away from me.
I am the person that screwed it up.
Katie ruined it. And
screwed it up. I will admit that. And it was
my blue check mark back.
Whenever it happened, I know we have Mark, but whenever that happened, mm-hmm. I told you, I'm like, there is no way that's going to change. You're going to be able to keep it. As soon as it changed, immediately, you're like, I lost my blue check mark. I'm like,
and here you are.
Gotta go.
You're the smart, young. you're the social media, director and the digital director.
So
and you're the one that's got you're hip and cool, and you know how social media works. And I'm just this old man that doesn't know anything. And I was like, I don't know, man. I don't think I can do this. I think it's gonna take my blue check mark. And you were like,
I know. I was like,
okay,
on.
Grandpa. Okay, boomer. How about you leave the important work to the kids here, and we'll get
so
the job
bad.
Done for you. And I was like, okay, you're right. I'm sorry. And then, lost it. So anyway, follow us there. Follow me there on Twitter at Tony Columbo Talk. Follow Katie at KFitz Talks. And don't forget to be subscribed to the Columbo and Katie podcast on whatever your favorite podcast platform is, Spotify, Apple, Amazon, Google. We are on all those places. We put out every day's show shortly after we get off the air as a podcast, so you never have to miss any of the great conversations that we have here on the show, like the one that we are about to have with Mark Lauder, Chief Communications Officer at the America's First Policy Institute, former Special Assistant to President Trump, and someone who we haven't talked to since the new year started. So, Mark, welcome back to the show. Thanks for your time this afternoon, and Happy New Year to you.
Well, Happy New Year to you. I'm also happy that I still have my blue check mark.
Don't listen to me, Mark. Whatever you do.
I wanted to change my handle a few
years. Oh, you can't do that.
Yeah, I wanted to change my handle a couple years ago because I changed stations. Katie and I, we have started this brand new station here at News Talk STL from scratch. Brand new radio station here in St. Louis. A lot of us have all worked together in other places in the market. And my handle had the old radio station in it. It had like the numbers of the old radio station in it. So I was like, oh man, I should probably change this, but you know, I don't want to lose the blue check mark. So, and then Katie was like, what? Come on, you're not gonna lose your blue check. Just change it. Come on, do it. And yeah, there it went. So it's been her fault forever, and maybe we'll have to put a campaign together to get it back. But yeah.
You can now buy it, apparently.
Yeah, right. So. Yeah. Yeah, that doesn't feel as cool. That doesn't feel right. As special. But so Mark, like I said, we haven't had a chance to talk to you for a few months here since late last year. And in that time, there has been a whole lot that happened. I was mentioning before we talked to you in the last segment that not only, you know, obviously, have you worked with President Trump as special assistant? But also, you were one of the very top people in his presidential campaign. So you know better than anybody what it's like to be with President Trump when he's running a presidential campaign. And we saw last week Rick Scott make his announcement that he will not be running for president. So that kind of signaled to me that maybe we're at that time of year, or maybe we're at that time of the process where we're going to start to see candidates either get in or get out. Maybe Rick Scott was kind of the first name on that list to kind of get that ball rolling. Is that true or not? Are we a little too early before we start to see this thing kind of form up and get together? Or is it going to be over the next couple of months that we start to see who's going to be in and who's going to be out?
No, I think this is exactly the right time for that to happen. Many of these candidates, and traditionally, obviously aside from Donald Trump, who announced in November of last year, but traditionally you get into the race in the spring, maybe early summer in the year before the election year. So this would be the spring or summer to do it, you know. What we heard constantly over the holidays was, you know, my family and I are going to pray on it. My family and I are going to meet on it over the holidays. And then you start putting together your plan. And then, you know, anywhere from February through, I would even say as late as June, you would typically get into that is when you would decide to get into the race.
So what do you think, just personally, from, I know we can't we're not going to, like, you know, get into, you know, taking sides or anything like that, but just in general for the party and for the cause of trying to get Joe Biden, who is, I was teasing this poll that I'm going to talk about in a little bit. I mean, just continues to just be the worst president of all time. So obviously the goal of the Republican Party and conservatives across the country is to put another person in the White House. Is it, in your mind, better to have a field of candidates that all duke it out and, you know, and vie for that position? Or can that be damaging to particular candidates if there's, you know, like, for example, obviously Ron DeSantis is the one that everybody's waiting for that shoe to drop. Is he going to be in? Is he going to be out? Is it better to see Trump and DeSantis go at it and some others go at it? Or is it better to kind of have one person that you sort of rally behind for a year and a half and try to take Biden out of the White House?
Well, I think in a way, I think it's better to have more than one candidate. You know, obviously, when you're on the outside of the White House looking in, you know, you want to have that robust debate. And the one thing that I can tell you that I can pretty much guarantee you this, it doesn't matter whether it's Trump, Pence, you know, DeSantis, Pompeo, Nikki Haley, Tim Scott, all the names that have been rumored about, aside, obviously, Donald Trump has announced, they're all going to be running on the same policies.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all going to be running on what I like to call America First policies, and that's where I work, but they're actually true. The question is going to be, you know, you might have a little bit different spin, or, you know, obviously you're going to have a different personality. You know, some candidates are going to obviously, you know, talk about other, but the policies themselves are laid out. It's because they worked. And the American people knew they worked. I mean, they may not love Donald Trump, but they liked low gas prices. They liked the lowest unemployment rate in history for Black Americans, Latino and Hispanic Americans, Asian Americans. I think it was the lowest unemployment rate in 80 years for women, something along those lines, and wages going up, inflation being down. We all liked those things. Now, the question is, who do you think you know, and the battle will be is who do you think can A, take those battles to Washington, who can rally the entire party, who can rally the entire movement, and by the way, bring back some of the disaffected people who maybe not loved the way Donald Trump always said things or tweeted things. And that'll be a decision, obviously, for conservatives and for people who want a different direction of the company, of the country. So that's a good thing, is we're not arguing over the policies.
Mark,
we can argue over the personality.
What scares me, though, is you listed off many, many things that people enjoyed whenever we were under the Trump administration. Now we're suffering when we're under the Biden administration. All of those things that you listed were things that we thought would bring a red wave here at the midterms. And unfortunately, that's not what happened. We did gain some seats. We did gain some momentum. It wasn't the red wave that everybody projected it to be. My question to you is, the messaging seemed, we have all of the right ingredients to make the cake, but right now, whenever it goes into bake, it turns out to be a flop. And it scares me a little bit whenever we talk about this presidential election in 2024, that we have all the right things that we need, but the messaging isn't there. And I'm wondering, because you know so much about that and you know so much about campaigning, how do we get the message across so that we can have a successful red wave or the next president will be a Republican?
Well, first thing, let's keep cooking that cake with gas. But, But aside from that, no, you're absolutely right. But here's the question. And this is where, you know, we get where I think we sometimes get off track. And the Democrats, by the way, are the best in the world at demagoguing any issue.
Mm.
You know, they are going to scare, you know, every woman in America that we're taking away your health care. I'm not aware of anybody telling women that we're going to take away their health care. We would like it to be more pro-life. We would like to protect babies. I'm not sure how that's taking away women's health care, but that's the way they do those things. And so what we have to do is make sure that A, you know, our policies are in alignment with what the electorate wants and a large enough section of the electorate to win. You know, it's great if we can go 100%, whatever the issue is, pick it. You know, I can find you a policy that's like 100% of exactly what I want, but it may turn off or turn away maybe 65% of the electorate because, well, I mean, I like some of that, but that's a little bit too far. Okay, don't go for the 100%. Let's go to the area where we can get that 75, 80% approval because, you know, if you look at the commitment to America that now Speaker McCarthy ran on, and it was the America First agenda, all of those things polled at 80%. 80% issues. 80% of the American people, regardless of party, said they wanted America to be energy dominant again, or they wanted to control federal spending, or they believed that mom and dad should have a voice in what's taught to their kids at school, or the right to take their kids out of that school and put them in one that will teach them what they need. These aren't controversial. Mm-hmm. We just have to be able to stand up and do it and stay true to it.
Talking to Mark Lauder. He is the Chief Communications Officer at America First Policy Institute. And Mark, I want to get back into some of the issues of the day with you here in a moment, but I also want to make sure that we have plenty of time to talk about the America First Policy Institute. Like I mentioned at the beginning, it's been a while since we've had a chance to check in with you, so give us the latest. I mean, obviously, getting closer and closer to a presidential election, I'm sure that you guys are extremely busy trying to get the message out across the country. What is the latest?
Since the midterm elections toward the end of last year, we actually published what's called the America First Agenda, and it's about a 245-page book that has the detailed policy answers to the problems that are facing America. So if you want to know, you know, it's great to say let's be energy dominant again. Yeah, I love it. It's a good bumper sticker. People will vote on it. But if you're an elected official, how do you do it? Well, we've got about 10 pages in there of policy issues of here's what you should do. You start with this, then you do that, and then you do this, and then you do that. And so it goes on every single major issue. You can find it at AmericaFirstPolicy.com, and it will tell you. And if you're running for dog catcher all the way up to President of the United States, you can look at this book. It's also got, I think there's 250 federal actions. There's also like 300 things states can do without Congress.
Man.
You can do it right there in your state capital.
I think that is a tremendous asset, a tremendous help to people, because so often voters across the country, citizens across the country, you know, they get their chance. We get our chance to have our voices heard in the ballot box. But so often it seems like decisions are made and even policy is made, laws are made, legislation is passed without the voice of the people. And that can sometimes make you feel like you don't have influence and you don't have your voice being heard in this process as you're obviously supposed to. So having a place that you can go to the America First Policy website and be able to look at those things and kind of get a step by step of here's the issues and here's how you fight for them, I think is a tremendous asset that you have provided to conservative voters across the country. Can you give us an example of kind of a first step? Like what, like for people that are listening that just don't know what to do, I mean, obviously go to the website and look at this document and read these pages, but like what's maybe like just a common sense for sort of first step that people can take to try to, you know, make their voice heard when it comes to these policies?
Well, first off, you have to know who to talk to and more importantly, when to talk to them. You know, using the example, which I think is so important, especially right now with parents and, you know, critical race theory, CRT, and all this, you know, this anti-Americanism that the liberals are forcing and the teachers' unions are forcing down our students' throats. You know, we've got a sister website called America First Parents, and it literally has a step-by-step. You can go in, put your address. It will tell you when the school board election is in your community, who your school board members are, like when do they meet? And now you are empowered to at least know that you can show up, be labeled a domestic terrorist by the Joe Biden DOJ, but regardless, you can let your school board know. You can ask them what's being taught. You can demand them answers. And if you don't like what you hear, then you could do the most American thing that you can do: put your name on the ballot, take them out.
I love it. Mm-hmm. So we'll touch
at the ballot box. I'm not threatening anyone.
Well, yeah, that's right. Take them out. At the ballot box. We'll touch on this before we wrap up the conversation. But what is the website, social media, all that kind of stuff, if people want to look into America First Policy Institute?
AmericaFirstPolicy.com. You can find us on Twitter at A1Policy. You can follow us on. We've got a Facebook page. We're on Instagram. We're on all the social media channels. If you look for America First Policy, you'll find us.
Great. Fantastic. I wanted to ask you, we've kind of touched on it there with you mentioned Kevin McCarthy, obviously the drama that went surrounded his election to Speaker of the House. There was a lot of it wasn't the same with Mitch McConnell. There was a lot of talk before the Mitch McConnell vote, and then kind of it was a nothing burger because it just kind of like was reelected after all this talk of like, what should there be a challenge? Should there be somebody new in leadership there in the Senate? Now that it's all settled in, did the America First crowd get what they wanted in these negotiations with people like Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy and Ronna McDaniel, who have all been reelected to positions of power in the Republican Party? But not without a fight, particularly the Kevin McCarthy situation. By and large, are you, and speaking for the movement sort of in general, do you think that the America First crowd got what they wanted from these conversations?
Absolutely. And, you know, much like we were talking about earlier, though, I don't think any of these discussions, with the exception maybe a little bit with Mitch McConnell, these aren't about policies. You know, there was no disagreement between the Freedom Caucus and Kevin McCarthy. There's not a disagreement, you know, between the America First MAGA community and the other part of the Republican Party when it came to Ronna McDaniel. It's a question of how quickly are we going to do it? Are we going to demand all or nothing? And, you know, can we flex our muscles? And really, to be honest with you, it was kind of amusing. The speaker debate, as much as they love to say this is about taking on the swamp and doing all this kind of stuff, it was the swampiest thing you could do. They knew they weren't going to win, but they got seats on committees. Mm-hmm. They wanted their own power to be, you know, to be exercised. They wanted to demand certain, you know, resolutions on how the House organizes itself. That swamp. Mm-hmm. Which is fine. I don't blame them for it.
Right.
But it's not like we were standing up against Washington, D.C. No, you were playing the game.
Yeah, that's D.C. politics at its finest.
Well, you deny playing D.C. politics. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, great. I give them all credit. Now, the fact of the matter is we've got to move on. You know, Kevin was going to be the speaker. Rana was going to be the chairwoman. None of those things were going to change. I could have told you that back in December, and it held to be true, obviously, today. And, you know, are they aware of, you know, the further right, maybe? But we are a big party. Mm-hmm. And this is not about, you know, it's not like we're negotiating with the squad. So it's not like we have, you know, the socialist side of our party and the non-socialist side.
Yeah.
That's what they've got. We've got basically everyone going in the same page. How quickly do we can we get there? Mm-hmm. And so let's recognize we're all together. It also, it, you know, holds true for whoever comes out of that nominating process next year, that they are carrying the water. And if they are the ones that the people trusted with their votes, whether you voted for them or not, they were the ones, and it's better to have someone who is supporting America First policies, even if that person may or may not have been your first choice. It beats the alternative, because that's what we've got now, more of the same.
Almost out of time with Mark Lotter, Chief Communications Officer at America's First Policy Institute. But Katie has a last question for you, and I bet I know what it's about. Go ahead.
We can't, Mark, we can't let you go without talking about the classified documents. We cannot let you go because Vice President Pence is someone you know very, very well.
Yeah,
obviously,
yes, I do.
You knew former President Trump very, very well. I wanted to get your thoughts on the classified documents from those two gentlemen, as well as Biden's numerous classified documents that are being found everywhere, it seems.
And the vast difference, the way that these two issues have been handled.
Well, the first thing is like, you know, all three things are not the same. Two of them are similar. One of them is different. Of the three people who have had the classified document issues, only one of them was president of the United States.
Right.
So the other two, obviously, were his vice president. And then obviously Joe Biden, even is when he was a senator.
Yeah, which is
the one thing
worse.
I can tell you. The one thing I can tell you is, in all seriousness, you know, Mike Pence is the Eagle Scout that he appears to be. Mm-hmm. He doesn't do anything outside of the rules. He doesn't do anything outside of the what's permitted. He had a great team and a great plan in place, and if it can happen to him, it can happen to anybody.
Yeah.
Which does mean we need to tighten up the system. But I will also tell you that while I know it makes great headlines, not all classified documents are created equal. I have been in many classified briefings when I was getting ready to travel around the world with the vice president. And it's like, here's who you're going to be having tea with at the palace in Indonesia. And it's a classified briefing that's got like four people's pictures on it and stuff from their Wikipedia page that could have been put together by an intern. So there's a far cry between that and, say, nuclear launch codes.
Right.
So I know we hear classified, red alarms go off. Not all classified documents are created equal.
That is Mark Lotter, Chief Communications Officer at America's First Policy Institute. One more time, Mark, I think the documents that you have put together outlining the way that people can fight for these America First policies and, you know, what they can do with their own voice to kind of influence lawmakers and influence the country to move in that direction is something that is a big tool for a lot of people to use out there. So one more time, remind us the websites, the social media address, all that good stuff for the America's First Policy Institute.
AmericaFirstPolicy.com, @A1, the number one policy for Twitter. You can find us on social media. You can find me at Mark with a C _ Lotter, Lotter. One short of the lottery, just like in real life.
Great stuff, Mark. Really appreciate your time, as always, and look forward to having you back on the show very soon. Enjoy
the
rest of your
day. Absolutely great to talk to you guys.
Thanks very much. Mark Lotter there from the America's First Policy Institute. Yeah, he's a great guy to talk to because the America's First Policy Institute, being the chief communications officer for that organization, is already, you know, a big enough reason to talk to somebody. But the fact that he also has worked so closely, I didn't even touch on the Mike Pence. He was special assistant to Vice President Pence before he was special assistant to President Trump. And so he has worked
great
with those
career.
Two gentlemen, at an extremely close one-on-one level. So, you know, as these things unfold and as the 2024 election, you know, unfolds and Donald Trump is obviously running, and if Mike Pence does get in or doesn't get in, or it doesn't get in but endorses somebody, you know, all the impacts of that sort of stuff, there is nobody better to talk to than Mark Lauder. So love having him on and look forward to having him back on again very, very soon. Another person that I love to have on is our friend Julia Gordon-Bramer. She is the tarot card reader that has been on the show with us many times over the year, and we have a big announcement regarding Julia. There is going to be an opportunity coming very soon for you to hear more from her, and I think it's going to be an awesome thing. We are going to tell you about that as Julia Gordon-Bramer joins us in studio in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Columbo and Katie on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
The web y'all spin. You are a huge Gwen Stefani person,
she's
aren't you?
She's the best.
Oh, I met her once.
She's the best.
Yes. I did, back in the nighttime days. No Doubt was just breaking.
Yeah.
Talk about a beautiful woman, too.
Oh, God.
Oh,
I've never been so jealous of anyone's abs, honestly.
Just beautiful. Yeah. Inside and out.
Some funny Gwen Stefani stories I'll tell you when we're done.
Heck yeah.
Never seen my abs, Julia. Maybe that would change.
He's doing keto again, so...
Well, you know what? Don't forget, remind me to tell a funny ab story. That's so funny that we just talked about that, because I legitimately have a funny story to tell that revolve around abs.
So, abs.
Katie, remind me to tell that in maybe the next segment. You're listening to Columbo and Katie. Thank you for being with us this afternoon. I'm Tony Columbo. My partner is Katie Fitzpatrick. And that other voice you hear in the room is our good friend, Julia Gordon-Bramer. She has been on the show with us many times, tarot card reader. Was here with us right before Katie went on maternity leave. She was a part of the New Year's Eve show. And I will let you make the announcement, Julia, because there is a super exciting new thing, new way that you will now be able to listen to Julia on a regular basis.
Yeah, I have some big news. I have my own show. It's called Mystic Fix, and it will be Saturday nights at 8 p.m. starting on February 4th.
Yes, right here at News Talk STL.
Yeah, we had to plan it to start after Mercury retrograde, because
nobody starts a show before Mercury retrograde.
not in my line of work. and Mercury retrograde kind of curses communication. So when you had the freeze over Christmas, Mercury retrograde. I know you had a little technical thing before that.
Yeah.
Mercury retrograde.
We've been dealing with Mercury retrograde for like a year and a half.
Holy cow!
Mercury's the god of communications, and it's a time when my astrologer friends can explain it differently, but it's sort of standing still. You know, it appears to be standing still in the sky, and it's in the stuck position for 3-4 weeks. And it's usually 3-4 weeks of communications disasters.
Oh, wow. So,
there was 3 or 4 weeks of communications disaster. We had that freeze, no doubt about it. So, you know, people, I have joked about this for the last several years. Julia is almost always a part of our New Year's Eve variety show, and she's always the centerpiece. Like, the musicians, the comedians, everybody that's in are all like waiting for the psychic, waiting for the tarot card read. What's the future going to be? What's going to happen? I can't wait till she gets here. I can't wait. Is it okay if I get a reading?
Totally.
You know, like all that stuff. Everybody like waits for her to be on, and always want to, you know, off the air, like, can you give me a reading?
Poor Julia can't ever make it out of here.
Yeah.
I love it.
So we're all familiar with that and you doing the tarot card readings, but I imagine you can't just do tarot card reading after tarot card reading every Saturday
for
the show. Tell us about what Mystic Fix is going to, the content that
So every week I bring in guests in different sorts of, you could say, spiritual work, paranormal work. We have the first two episodes are in the can now as far as being recorded. And so my first episode is with Tyler Kowala, who does this Journey to Truth podcast, and he talks about experiences with levitation, and he and gets into his personal journey. And then we also have an interview with a kitchen witch who is in Britain. It's she's over in England, and I did a Zoom interview with her, and we patched that in, and some talk about, you know, just what that's about. Since it'll be coming out a couple days after Groundhog Day, we talk about the mythology and all of this sort of mystic influence in Groundhog Day. Who knew, right? And we had a little fun with that. My second episode features Michael Abney, who is a local psychic and intuitive healer. And we also talk with author Jack Preston King, who has a great book called, let me see if I can remember the title. No, I can't remember the title. But anyway, it's An Argument for Magical Thinking.
So we are almost out of time, and I can't recommend people enough to tune in starting this Saturday at 8 o'clock here on News Talk STL for Mystic Fix. One thing, real quickly, if you can condense the answer to this, I'm a big fan of the paranormal, but I'm also somebody who is very faith-based, and I think that sometimes people think that those two things don't jive, but right. You actually have a strong root in your faith and your belief in God.
I grew up in the Episcopal Church, and I definitely have Christian roots, and I think they get stronger as I get older.
Yeah, that's interesting.
But maybe not traditionally Christian.
Sure.
And so, you know, what I try and do in the program is show that faith is faith is faith, and you know, and all of these are kind of, it's the same truth in different brands. And so somebody may call themselves a witch, but they may be practicing just sort of a respect for the earth and looking at spirit in all things. So, you know, I'm trying to break down some of those prejudices and stereotypes.
Well,
right?
Listen, I can't wait to hear show this Saturday and going forward every Saturday at 8 o'clock, 8 p.m. here on News Talk STL. So make sure you're tuned in and listening to Julia Gordon-Bramer there. And also, if people want to learn more, maybe book your services and take advantage of your psychic services, your tarot card reading, what are other ways that people can get a hold of you?
Yeah, well, so we're just getting ready to launch the Mystic Fix website at mysticfix.com.
Nice.
It is not live today, but it will be in a few days.
Right.
They can also reach me at Julia@night. I'm sorry. We'll try. Which one should I be? Tarot at nighttimes.com.
Very good. Great stuff. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Julia Gordon-Bramer. And I'm sure you'll be with us again many, many, many more times. But make sure you're tuned in this Saturday at 8 o'clock and every Saturday going forward for the brand new show here at News Talk SDL with Julia Gordon-Bramer, Mystic Fix. I can't wait to hear it myself. All right. Diving back into the headlines here in just a moment. You're listening to 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Yeah.